Thank you for listening to this message from More to Life Ministries.
Their whole purpose is to take us to the throne, and I believe they do it every week. And thank you. Thank you, guys. James chapter 1, the 19th verse. Know this, my beloved brothers, that every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to labor. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness or impurity and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. He looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Lord, our heart is that you will bless the reading of your word and the power of it. We look forward to what you want to do. We're well beyond the words of this preacher. And let your spirit dig deep. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. In this series, we're looking at general faith, genuine faith, desires for and depends on truth to permeate our life. And this requires this word of God, to be implanted. Some translations say engrafted into the very core of our lives, with brokenness, with repentance. Now, listen to me, because today I'm kind of setting the stage for Pastor Terry, but we're in this understanding that for truth to permeate your life, for truth to change, that can only come with a complete, absolutely unaltered, yielded to the Holy Spirit. The woman at the well, if you remember, the Samaritan woman, once Jesus had told her that her relationships hadn't worked. She had five husbands, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. She immediately turns the subject to religion. Because many things people look for, but two special ones, are trying to find something for life and relationships and religion. Religion without the power of the Holy Spirit is a dead thing. For 1500 years, the Jews had a great religion. But it was only a picture to them of a Messiah who would come and release the Holy Spirit in their lives. But the danger of when we get involved in religion, for some, is that they like religion, but they really don't want their lives to change. Love going to church, love hearing the music, preaching's okay, love the prayer, but don't actually change. Truth in my life, through the Holy Spirit, is designed to change me. Now understand, Only the Holy Spirit can change you. Now, listen to me. Some of you have been trying to change yourself. It ain't going to work. It's not going to work. But when you come into partnership and cooperation with the Holy Spirit, all things become possible. But this is so essential to understand. I cannot change my life. The Holy Spirit does it, but it can only happen with complete, unyielding cooperation with me with it. And in this point, he wants to begin to activate, authenticate the Word of God in your life. I want to look at those two things today. And the first one is the activation of proof that is a call to discipleship. Now, when you look at verse 22, it starts with a challenge. Be doers of the Word. Circle that. If you haven't circled in your Bible, circle the Word. That's one of those passages, this right here in James, you should have stored in your memory bank. Be doers of the Word, not hearers only. A living Word within me should produce the Word lived through me. A living Word within me must produce a Word lived through me. If you go back to verse 21, here's what he says. The impurity of your natural, the impurity of your natural mind will overflow into wickedness. That's just what he does. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And after you come to Christ, you will sin again. I know that bursts your bubble, but you will. I know your husband tried to tell you that he's perfect and he doesn't sin anymore, but he's lying to you. You already knew that. If she tries to tell you, first you don't sin anymore, she's lying to you, but you already knew that. So people will come to see me for counseling, and they'll say, oh, Terry, I know I'm not perfect, but, stop right there, you're not perfect. And knowing you're not perfect, something's got to change me. But the natural outflow of life is that because my mind has been corrupted by the fall, corrupted by the lie, there is an overflow into my life of wickedness and death. What the Holy Spirit wants to produce in you through the Word of God is a mind renewed that is overflowing with righteousness and life. That's just what he does. So I want you, if you will, to turn to Hebrews chapter 4. And I want you to see a passage of Scripture again, one you should have in your memory bank about the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And no creature, listen to verse 13, no creature is hidden from his sight. I'll read that again. No creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom he must give account. And he does that through the Word of God. Since then you have a high priest, because now he's gotten you to the point realizing, oh boy, we need something. We have a high priest who has passed into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we might find mercy and grace to help in time of need. This is a living, active Word. I don't know how it is. It is something that God will have to explain to me, the Father will explain to me, or the Son in heaven. But even then, I'm not sure I'll understand it. Somehow, in this written Word, there is the power of the Holy Spirit to use this truth to change you. But He always changes you through truth, not your feelings, not in situations. He changes you as your life conforms to the will of God, which is always according to the truth of His Word. through the Holy Spirit, this truth becomes an organic force that lives, that grows, that pierces through every thought, through every attitude of the heart. Now listen to me. If the Word of God is not constantly playing in your heart, your attitudes and your thoughts, something is wrong. Listen to me. I'm going to be straight with you. I'm not trying to be hard-based on you. If during your day you are not sensing and hearing the Word of God piercing through your thoughts, piercing through your attitudes, something is wrong. Don't make excuses for it. Because what the Holy Spirit does through the Word of God is lay me naked before Him, bare, completely bare, and He lays and He puts me self on, face on with myself. And I got to tell you, as we already see, what I see in myself is an ugly thing. I hide it on Sunday. You do too. I do say, Ben Jay, what's really going on with you? Well, I got this, this, and this, but you don't want to know. I don't want to know. I don't know how to deal with it, but He does. And this is very important to understand that once He has revealed yourself to you, you now have a high priest that says, bring this here. You have a high priest that says, bring that to grace. He's not saying, listen, what you've got to do, man, you've got to get to that altar and you're going to have to do at least six Hail Marys and you've got to do this and you've got to do penance. No, no, no. You bring that to a throne of grace because that has already been covered on the cross, and now you've got to let the Holy Spirit change your thinking, change your attitudes, change your soul. The high priest doesn't just save your soul from hell. He begins to turn your soul so it looks like Jesus. You see, that's the problem. Because this is a lifetime work. And I want it to be an event. Some of you came to the altar today, and that was good. And you got up, and there was something that said, glad I did that. Glad that's over. No, it's not over. It's round whatever in the fight you've been fighting. The bear will be again, and you will come out fighting. He will find another way, the enemy will find another way to come at your pet sin, your troubled mind, your depression, your anxiety. He's going to find a way. And if you think by coming to the altar your fight is over, it's not. But by coming to the fight altar, it's how you win in the battle. But the battle is always there. Intimacy with the Holy Spirit always results in spiritual warfare. Just know that. If you decide you're going to know Him with your heart and soul, get ready for the fight of your life. But this is what he is saying. There is a perfect law. James said this in chapter 1, 22. Or 25. There is a perfect law of liberty. Not a law of do's and don'ts. A law of liberty through the grace of God that through truth sets you free. Now listen to me. John 8:32. I want you to write this down. So where is that verse? Jesus said, you shall know the truth. And it shall set you free. It shall make you free. That's what He promised. Genuine faith acts on what the Spirit reveals in the Word. And that Word becomes a voice. And here's how truth is supposed to work. As I walk with the Holy Spirit, I read the Word. And now as I'm walking through the day, that Word becomes a voice that guides me. If the Word only stays on the page and does not become that voice, you're in trouble. Something is drowning out the voice of God. I've heard people say, God doesn't speak to me. Not true, you're just not listening. Or you don't know what to hear. We talk a lot about the silence of God, but even the silence of God, God is speaking, coming. It's in silence He draws you because you know it is this that He's calling me, trying to get the junk out of my life. It's not just enough to observe the truth. You have to obey it. I'll say that again. It's not just enough to be able to quote chapter and verse. Now, I got to tell you, this message this week took me to the woodshed. Because after 40 years of preaching the Word, I have found that sometimes I will know what's in here and then look at my life and realize it's not looking like it. As I stand up here and preach, I want you to know that I am not preaching as one who has arrived. I am one preaching who desperately needs to finish this journey. No one stands up here because they've arrived. They stand up here because they are so desperate for Jesus. They are desperate for Jesus on the first day they bowed their knee to me. I need the Holy Spirit to change me, but this is very important. I have to be more than a hearer. It's not enough. I have to be more than a hearer. I have to do it. If I only hear and it does not take root, it says you're deceiving yourself. It's time to slow down today. I want you to hear what I'm saying. If it is not, your life is not looking like this, you are deceiving yourself. I don't know how ever to say it. Well, you know, no, you can't do that. Remember what we saw 2 weeks ago in Romans chapter 1. We are without excuse. Well, I didn't know, but you were supposed to know. Ephesians chapter 5, it says it's our responsibility to understand what the will of God is. But you don't understand. I know I don't, but He does. This is so important to get a hold of. This is not an opinion. This is not a philosophy. This is absolute truth. It is how God designed life to work. And if I don't live by this design, I miss the mark. That's what sin means. I miss the mark. I live outside of design. And that's what breaks up homes. That's what breaks up businesses. It's what breaks up governments. It's what breaks up lives. Is when I decide I want to live outside the design. It is designed, the other one, to break that. Now, I don't know if this is true, but I've heard it, that they make appliances now to break that. Tell me one more. When Edison first made the light bulb, now this is true, years ago, and I don't know if it's still true now, we went to the Edison home, this was 30-some years ago, but that light bulb that he created had been burning for like 40 years. But they realized if you bought an Edison bulb and it never went out, it never broke, they would go out of business. So they had to dumb down the Edison light so they would burn out. The enemy says, we got to dumb this thing down so they burn out. But I didn't know. You have to know. You have to know. And I find myself so much more saying, Lord, why? And He says, listen, you just got to trust I'm all you need. You've got to live by that design. Now, when I was at First Baptist Church, as you walk into my office, there was this mirror, this mirror. Everybody loved that mirror because it lied. Because it made you look thinner than you were. One time they talked about getting rid of that mirror. Some people need that mirror before they get in my office. I need that mirror before I get in there. But I got to tell you, I liked it because it lied to me. Now, the problem is, the mirror I have in my house does not lie to me. So, it's like looking in a mirror. I see my natural face in a mirror. The word natural face, the word natural face literally means birth face. It's the idea of standing there in your birth face. You get the picture. And so now, I'm standing there in my birthday suit, and it's a sobering experience at 65. This is not what Robin married. I really wanted to find a picture of me at 25, and you just said, this was a very true story. For years, Robin kept a picture on our refrigerator of me when we just first got married. And people would, who's this guy? No, it just made me laugh. Sometimes I say, who do you think this is? I don't know who this is. That's me. No, it is not. My granddaughters will see a picture of me with hair, and they laugh. I can see it. It's gone. It's not coming back. And when I'm standing there in front of that mirror, there is nothing to mask me. There is nothing to hide me. I am naked and bare before the one who am I must give account. And I got to tell you, it is disturbing. I've got a problem. 55, I'm bald, I'm overweight, and I don't want to do anything about it. Thank you, Dad. So what I do is I cover that. And people say, why do you wear all that clothes? Because it needs to be covered. And I go about my day covering up and acting as if I didn't see it. I mask it. I medicate it. But it didn't go away. Because tomorrow morning, I will stand before it, make it again. And I realize I was deceiving myself. The fact of the matter is that the silly illustration to know most of the time we are willfully deceiving ourselves. So it's one thing to be deceived and you don't know it. There's another to do it on purpose. Are you the kind of person that goes down the road and the idiot light comes on and you just pass that idiot light? Or you hear a clanking in the engine and you turn up the radio? That's what we do, isn't it? It is a big thing. Probably the greatest illustration of this is Solomon. I want to get serious. Solomon, we know from Scripture, was the wisest man who lived. He wrote the book of Proverbs. He wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. He was an extraordinary man. But he died a failure. He had 1,000 wives, 1,000 women. He knew what he was doing. Here's a man, Solomon, that ate off gold plates. Everything he did was gold. And in the second chapter of Ecclesiastes, he said, I hated him. Here's a man that had everything. He had three of everything. That's what I like about that for intercourse. And the nation is split in two. Because he thought the rules don't apply to me. They do. Turns to 2025. What difference does that make? His truth is unchanging. But people don't live by that rules anymore. That's why our nation is crumbling. That's why our churches are crumbling. We just want the work of the Spirit. You can't have it without the truth. Now, Terry's going to speak on the Spirit, and I'm so glad this is going to be a great follow-up. But you cannot have a Spirit-led movement, a revival, the power of the Spirit, unless you have a people that are walking according to truth. And the moment you decide to walk away from truth, the hedges start coming down. This is where we have gone. This is where churches have gone. And the reason that we have done it is because we don't want anybody telling us how to live. This is my body. I get to do whatever I want with it. Where does it say that? Where does it say it's your body, you get to do whatever you want to with it? So we'll have believers all across our nation that are swallowing a lie that says it's my body, I get to do whatever I want to. Where does it say that? It doesn't. It's based completely upon emotions. It's based completely upon a lie. This is his body. He bought me body and soul at the cross. In Romans chapter 1, it says, present your body as living sacrifices. But we don't often see that. We'll read it, well, we'll present ourselves. No, it didn't say present yourself. It says present your body. as a living sacrifice. So what you're saying, if I decide to be living in a sexual relationship outside of marriage, it's a sin. I come on, listen. It's a sin. I can't make this up. My natural way of dealing with people, if you know me, is an all-sucks kind of guy. But when I stand in front of this pulpit, I got to tell you, I can't do that. If you think that it does not apply to you, you're going to cross some bones. Instead of abiding, but now guys, you want to live a life that is burning. That's right. Here's what I'm afraid is happening across our nation. Is too many pastors and preachers are afraid to confront and afraid to offend. If I'm offensive is one thing, and please, if I am offensive, talk to me. But if the truth has offended you, there's not one thing I can do about it. Well, James just offends me. Well, you've been offending God, and it hasn't apparently bothered you. So many are confronted by the word daily, and they put it off. Well, I'll come back to it. Maybe. You won't come back to it unless God puts you on your knees. If we never get back, we run. There will reason anyway. That's because my mother. James, if you would realize the father I grew up with, you will not be able to play that card when you stand before God. Well, I will tell you, this is because my wife. So what you're telling me is your wife is making your decisions for you, that she's the one because she makes several decisions for you? No. If we don't start putting it plain like this, we keep finding inroads and outs. I like to find the way. I have discovered what I really want to do is be able to lose the extra 15 pounds I put on. Yeah, the doctor confirmed it, but I kept lying to myself. Because I wouldn't step on a scale, see, so I don't want to be naked in front of it. We're going to find out that when we stand before God, we can believe in lies. The enemy of your soul doesn't take you down the street and beat you up. He just tells you lies, and you believe them. Spiritual warfare is not about kicking out demons. It's about putting on Christ and walking in truth. If we continue to ignore and suppress what the truth of God is, we court disaster. There is no way the American church is going to have a revival until it returns to the infallibility of the Word of God. So, don't equate knowing the truth with doing it. I'm going to be done here in just a minute. So hang on. The danger in my life as a pastor who has spent 40 years in the book is I know what's in here. But the danger for me and for some that know this book is, I think, because they know it, they're doing it. Knowledge is not faith. Faith takes God at His word, pulls that truth into my life, where it takes root, and I act on it, living from that truth of the power of the Holy Spirit. Truth sets free, but it doesn't set you free until you act on it. Truth sets you free, but it will not set you free until by the Spirit you act on it. As long as it is unacted upon, you're going to stay miserable as you were. You will know a truth and not live. Then you're just foolish. When truth and Spirit work in tandem, all things are possible. Somebody says, what's the evidence of the filling of the Holy Spirit? obedience. Don't you think it's speaking in tongues? Certainly can be. Don't you think it's gift of service? Certainly can be. But I'll tell you exactly what it is. The filling of the Holy Spirit leads to obedience. And anything outside of it, that was the problem with the Corinthian church. They were so full of themselves, full of their spirit, full of the spirit, but they weren't walking in obedience. And Paul says, you're fooling yourself, but we have all the gifts. That means nothing if you're not obedient. We've just got to get back to reality. God does not come along and say, what do you want me to do for you? God says, listen, this can happen. This is what's possible when you get in on what I'm doing, not me getting in on what you're doing. We don't get to tell him what to do. Faith does not move God. God moves my faith. If we don't start with God, if I start with me and Jesus Christ coming down to earth and being that little dog, remember the old cartoonist, what are we going to do today, Spike? And the Holy Spirit's just jumping around me. What do we want to do today? He says, well, I will be Lord, and you will do what we want to do. It's that simple. Genesis, verses 26 and 27 is called a character. So what does pure, undefiled religion look like? The idea is the authentic thing. What's the rest of it? Defiled religion, verse 26, is used as a mask to disguise my true character. It's going to get bumpy, so hang on. False religion, defiled religion, focuses on churchianity. It has form, but it denies the power. Churchianity comes in and says, oh my gosh, they got that black curtain up again. That drives me out of my mind. Churchianity says, I cannot believe they closed the cafe like we're 12-year-olds. Christianity is all about how the lights look. Christianity is, well, the place seems good, but you should go see the one at such and such church. Christianity is in how it's done. And are you rising up in how it's done? To mask. It is useless and it is vain. How do I know the difference? By going. By your mouth. I just have to listen. That's what it says. Anyone thinks he's religious, the real thing, and does not bridle his tongue, carries or heels, he sees his heart. And this person, religion is worthless. Worthless. So about the time that Preacher James thinks he's got this, something comes out of my mouth here, the Holy Spirit says, pardon? What do you understand? No, I don't. Isn't it interesting in Romans chapter 1 and all those vile things right in the middle of it is gospel? Oh. That's the problem? Yes, it is. Some of us have a degree in it. Slander. Tearing people down with our mouth. We all do it. That's why I said it was going to get bumpy. But this is what the Holy Spirit now says. The evidence of deceiving yourself is what comes out of your mouth. I didn't like this. Don't go out and say, James picked on us. This is picking on me. When I kept reading this week, the Lord goes, have you listened to yourself lately? Well, James, I never use profanity. Yeah, but you're the most negative person I've ever heard. Let me tell you what it looks like. I want to turn to Ephesians, and you need to turn there because you need to see what it looks like, what the real thing looks like. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. but only as is good for building up, that it may give grace to those who hear it. I heard my grandmother, God bless her soul, she went to meet Jesus a long time ago, used to say, "I've got him told." Oh, my goodness. "I've got him told. I just need to give him a piece of my mind." You have none to give away. You need to keep every bit of it you have, because you trust. Look at the fifth chapter. This is even more. Look at verse 18. This is the evidence. Listen. "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." Now listen, immediately, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing, making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ. So the evidence for the filling of the Holy Spirit will be what comes out of your mouth. "Oh, you just say it so, boy, they get full of the Spirit." Yeah, they're at the altar, they're full of the Spirit, they're dancing, and they go out here and cut everybody apart and have both preachers alike, they're full of the Spirit. I can't tell you the woodshed the Lord took me to this weekend. When he said, "You want to preach this way?" The first one was, now, pure and undefiled, well, it is the unveiling of Christ's character in 2 hours. Okay? Listen to me. The first one would be that your life serves other people. Romans chapter 1, sacrifice yourself to the Lord. Sacrifice your body. Be renewed in your mind. Go out and be transformed from the world and serve the body. Sacrifice your life, serve the body. The two go together. Yeah, but people bother me. I know. I'm not a people person. I'm not. I am not. But unless somehow orphans and widows and people's needs are being taken care of with holiness, we must have a compassion to minister grace to other people, to speak grace to other people. It is not to come out on top. It is to make sure we are lifting others up from the bottom. God has no levels. He has depths. You never arrive. You never reach the top. And while across our nation we're seeing is pastors who have gotten to the point in their mega churches that they have reached the point where they've been put on a pedestal and everybody else is doing the ministry for them, they fall and they burn. If our whole thing is to come up with great sermons and to be jetted around the nation to do it, I am going to crack and burn, because that is not true religion. The second and integrity. Keep yourself, the old King James said, unspotted from the world. A life that distinctively and dynamically stands apart in holiness and purity. Any show of religion empty of serving others and being pure is vain and it is worthless. I don't like to listen to so-and-so. We just preach that old-time religion. We need a good dose of it. God doesn't get modern. He doesn't change. He doesn't have to relate. He is the one who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He does not adjust to our culture. Our culture has to adjust to Him. He doesn't have to come along and say, "You know, this thing we've been preaching, it really doesn't go over in our new culture. Then change your culture." Well, you preachers, you go so long, and if we can't endure the Word of God being spoken to us, we are fooling ourselves. Now, if you know me, you'll know that outside this pulpit, and I get up into this pulpit, something happens and I become a bulldog, but it's not what I'm really like. But I've got to tell you, from what I hear the Holy Spirit saying to me this week, is if we're going to experience the real thing, we have to become doers of this word. We've got to put away everything that does not look like it. Gentlemen and ladies, guard your tongue. God is to speak like a father. So I want to speak to you if I would have said it to one of my boys. Guard your tongue. How is it full of you? Is the true character of Christ showing through you? If not, it's worthless. Terry's going to be talking about the Spirit of God leading you and transforming you. Just know this. Every sermon he's going to preach on that, at the core of the leading of the Holy Spirit, will be your commitment, undying and also commitment to the Word of God. I teach it hard because we've walked away from it. We really have. I listen to a new breed of preachers. And it's all glitzy, and it's all clever, and it's all design when you walk out to say, didn't we have a wonderful time today? Oh, wow. No, and we got object lessons, and we got all this, and he stood on a ladder as he spoke, and he did all this, and you can hear the Holy Spirit say, it don't impress me much. We got to get back to the people on their knees before a holy God that says, we will surrender everything to you, and through that surrender, all things become possible. You want to be free from your depression? Live by the truth. You want to be free from your anxiety? Live by the truth. You want to heal your marriage? Live by the truth. It's that. I'm going to ask the praise team to come. I've already invited you to come to the altar, but I'm going to invite you again. This invitation to come to the altar will be an invitation. Maybe you need to take your husband or your wife by the hand and say, we're going to live by the truth. Maybe it's to come and realize that you've been deceiving yourself and you're going to live by the truth. Maybe you are living the truth and you want to thank God for how he's delivered your life by living by the truth. I can look at some of you in this room today and I can tell you, some of you, your life has been delivered because you've lived by the truth. I look at a young man back here, your life has been delivered because he started living by the truth. And it's been the greatest pleasure in our life to me. Now, after looking around this room, and many of your life has been changed because you began living by the truth. So I'm going to open this altar for us to come and say, we will, by God's will, by God's Spirit, live by the truth. Come on.
Thank you for tuning in to this message from More to Life Ministries. If you would like to learn more about our mission of seeing lives transformed by Jesus Christ, please visit our website at m2lministries.com.